Good morning.
My name is Christopher Fink. I am an eighth grader at Whitefish Bay Middle School. This morning, I will be reading the gospel lesson, Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. These verses tell us how important it is to be nice to everyone, even the least of us. In return for being kind, we will be rewarded by sitting at the right hand of God. Listen now to the word. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked? Or sick or in prison, and did not minister to thee. Then he will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
My name is Reverend Carrie Kruspaganoff. I no longer attend middle school, but I have a vision for the youth program of this church. And before I get into my sermon, I wanted to share that with you. My vision for our young people is to be part of a fried egg model of church ministry. Let me explain. There's two models in my mind. One is a one-eared Mickey Mouse. If you've ever seen Mickey Mouse, which most of you have, here's his face, and then there's this little ear. And in the face is the congregation, and the youth are stuck out. And the congregation only calls on the youth when they're needed to serve, and the youth only call on the congregation when they need money. I don't want this. What I want is the fried egg model. You've all probably had a fried egg. Here's the egg, and the youth are the yolk. Smack in the middle of the congregation. They participate in worship. They participate in the life of the congregation because let me tell you something. Someday, these folks are going to be the congregation, and you can tell how passionate I am about this. So sometimes I get a letter after this week saying, children or you shouldn't be in worship, but they are part of the worship. Because they're children of God, too. So I'm excited that our young people have worked so hard in the last few weeks, writing their introductions to the scriptures, rehearsing every day. And I think it's wonderful that they can be here and they can praise God and they can lead you in worship. Oh, compose your deep breath. At the Covenant Class retreat this weekend, we studied church history. We began with the birth of Christ in approximately 4 BC and ended with Henry VIII's separation from the Roman Catholic Church. In the midst of these various history lessons, we talked about Augustine. His book, The City of God, is still viewed as one of the most important theological works ever produced. In fact, I had to read it 4 times in seminary. Augustine writes about two cities. The worldly city is full of godless people. They seek temporary things. The other city, the city of God, is full of spiritual people. They are bonded together by the love of God. This city can never be destroyed or decay. For the first readers of Augustine's City of God, this idea of two cities brought hope. In the late 300s, Christians had just began to experience true freedom. Christianity had only been legal since 313, and Christians were in the midst of organizing their churches, electing bishops, finding deacons and ministers to lead these congregations. A future kingdom reigned solely by God and not by an emperor was something to anticipate with excitement in this turbulent time. Augustine wasn't the first to use kingdom language. Jesus used this phrase frequently, according to the gospel narrators. The Lord's Prayer even makes frequent reference to the kingdom that will come. Matthew 25, our gospel lectionary for the day, which Chris Frank read, falls in the midst of several apocalyptic stories. I need to take another deep breath. I apologize. The previous chapters to this Matthew 25 reading from today begins with Jesus' promise that the temple will be destroyed. We are also reminded that no one knows the time or the day or the hour except God. The story of the 10 bridesmaids that we read 2 weeks ago and the slaves that are given talents that some of them hide and some of them hold on to that we read last week immediately precede today's reading of the kingdom. Here we have a familiar story in today's reading. The narrative sharing that the Son of Man will separate the nations into sheep and goat. When asked, the king declares, "The separation between the sheep and the goats is compassion. The sheep showed compassion to the least of the king's people, and the goats did not." Christopher Fink, one of our eighth graders, will lead us as we explore this reading in greater detail.
Let's take a closer look at a portion of the gospel reading, Matthew 25, verses 34 to 36. Let me reread this section just to refresh your memory. "Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" When I first read this section, I thought these six tasks are very easy to do. If I need to complete these just to please God, I'm halfway there. Last month at school, we collected peanut butter and jelly for the National PB&J Challenge. My school, Whitefish Bay Middle School, won the local contest by contributing well over 2,000 pounds of peanut butter and jelly. Also, just 2 weeks ago, I helped serve meals at St. Vincent's with my PF friends. Therefore, I am helping to give food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty. Every year, I also donate my old coats and gloves to Candela's Coats for Kids to help clothe the naked. At this point, I was feeling pretty good about myself. However, now I began to think about the other tasks that Matthew refers to. If you think about it, these six tasks are everything God wants us to do. Giving food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty are quite easy to understand. But what about welcoming strangers? Who do you think a stranger is? Well, it could be someone in a new place or someone you do not know. At my school, we have many strangers. Some come from other schools, some from other states, and some even come from other countries. One of the differences between them is how they deal with being a stranger. Some get involved in everything offered. They are on sports teams, participate in the school musical, and are on student council. Everyone in the school knows them as if they were in the district all their lives. On the other hand, there are the kids who don't get involved in anything. Nobody knows them, they have no friends, and never participate in class discussions. This is the same in our church environment. Some new members have gotten involved with the church, while others sit back and let the others do all the work for them, for all sorts of reasons. Those of us who are already involved need to be able to welcome both kinds of strangers, the outgoing and the shy. With the outgoing strangers, we need to help them find a way to get involved and encourage them to stay involved. As for the timid strangers, we need to offer the hand of friendship. So let's start right now. Turn to your neighbor, put out that hand, and take a moment to introduce yourselves. Matthew also tells us to visit people in prison. Visit someone in prison? I'm not sure my mom would approve. At first, I was very curious as to why someone would go visit murderers and drug dealers. Would the guards even let an eighth grader into a prison? Then I thought back to the time of Matthew and remembered that Christians were being prosecuted for their beliefs. The people of Rome were forced to pray for Caesar and bow down to him like a god. The second commandment states that we cannot bow down to any other god except our God. The Christians obeyed this commandment and were sent to jail because they did not bow to Caesar. To connect this with today's life, visiting someone in prison would be like visiting someone going through a tough time or someone who is very lonely because they have lost a loved one. These are the prisoners God wants us to visit. So why waste your time feeding the hungry, welcoming strangers, and visiting people in prison? Why do it all? We should not be doing God's work to make ourselves look good. The point of serving food at St. Vincent's is not to think, "Wow, I did a great thing. Now I am guaranteed a trip to heaven." The whole point behind doing good is to please God. Like Matthew says, he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The righteous, God-fearing sheep will go to the right hand of God, and the evil, "Why do that? It doesn't help me," goats, will be cast into eternal punishment. So who really wants to be a goat?
Who really does want to be a goat? A few years ago, I was hired by my grandmother to help her with her Christmas shopping. She had just had shoulder surgery and was worried about the driving and the carrying of the packages. So my job description included driving, providing curb service, carrying bags and taking bags to the car as necessary, and offering opinions on gifts. During the course of this day, we had a lot of time in the car to discuss things. And one thing we discussed was language and the number of words that have been created in her lifetime. We came up with quite a list. For example, email and digital. Other words have gotten new definitions. Blog, internet, voicemail. We had both words, but did we put them together? Web, and I'm sure that we could think of others, and maybe that's a good task for fellowship hour after the service. Recently, I've heard another word that fits into the second category of words. The word is buzz. Have you, any of you heard this word, buzz? Well, buzz is no longer limited to a persistent humming sound, a confused murmur, or a flurry of activity. I first noticed the word being used by Oprah. Curious, I searched Buzz on her website and found that it has been used in 49 show topics in the recent months. This is one of her favorite words. Online, one can also find the Buzz on Prince William, order a subscription to Soccer Buzz magazine, get the Buzz on electronics, read the weekly Buzz from the University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana, listen to the Buzz, a popular name for radio stations, I found at least 10, and find directions to the Buzz, a dance club. It seems that the Buzz on the street is the use of the word buzz. The buzz I wanted to share with you today is about the kingdom. The author of Matthew tells us that the kingdom is a place that has been prepared for us from the beginning of the world. The other destination option does not seem as pleasing, for example, eternal punishment. Chris elaborated on the acts of compassion that the king expects. The author of Ephesians continues this explanation by explaining the far-reaching dimensions of this kingdom. This city of God is far above the rule and authority of what we know. Another minister once told me that he was visited by a concerned daughter who wondered about her mother who had just died. She mentioned that her mother was quite shy, and her concern was that her mother would get lost in the crowd and God would never notice her. Her image of heaven was confined to a space. But Ephesians explains that the kingdom of God is beyond dimension. Christ fills all in all. Matthew makes this clear as we consider what the king says. Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Christ is indeed all in all. The kingdom of God, which we excitedly anticipate, is rooted in compassion. It is beyond dimension, above power and dominion. As a child, I would always ask my parents, how much do you love me? And they would say, I love you this much. And I would say, out of how much? And they would say, out of this much. And then it came, as soon as I learned that there was more of a universe, I would say, how much do you love me? And they would say, to the moon and back. And I would get so excited because I knew that they loved me that much. But what these passages are saying is that God is even beyond those dimensions that we can understand. The power or the kingdom of God is more than just sheep and goats. It is more than a glass of water, a can of pea soup, or a hand-me-down coat. This is huge buzz. This is buzz about the most welcoming kingdom, the most loving kingdom, and the most compassionate kingdom that has ever existed or will ever exist. This is the buzz about the kingdom. Thanks be to God.